Translate to potential nugget.
Moving to a different topic, Amish, which is about quickly, what are the lessons the business world can learn from some of these works? First is about culture, right? You talk about the Suryavanshi and the Chandravanshi way, right? And again, it's interesting because any organization is trying to balance some sort of a process-driven approach and trying to create entrepreneurship, right, in terms of people coming up with solutions themselves. What's your take on how one could strike that balance in the context of creating culture?
You know, there's no... one of the things I try and communicate again and again in my books is there's no way that is better or worse. Each path works for a different time, for a different atmosphere. And ideally, and this is true of countries, this is true of companies, this is true of families, ideally you should be true to yourself. You know, like if we take, for example, in the case of a country, there are so many Indians who believe that we have to be like China. We cannot be like China. We are not like them because they are compliant people who follow what their, on average, follow what their government tells them to do.
The DNA is different, yeah.
We are a rebellious race. Indians will not follow what... we are by nature a very rebellious race. Even when we say yes, you know, our gestures are such that you're not really sure whether I will actually do what I've apparently accepted doing, you know, as an order, you know, given to me. So we are a rebellious race. We are more Chandravanshi, if you will. No one is an exact Chandravanshi or Suryavanshi, but we are more Chandravanshi. The Chinese are more Suryavanshi. We should be true to who we are. Now, each way of life has its positives and negatives. The Suryavanshi way of life, at its best, is very efficient, very just, very focused. At its worst, it can be very rigid. It cannot handle change at all. It can become fanatical. The Chandravanshi way of life, at its best, is very freedom-loving, very creative, very passionate, very protective, especially of its weak. But at its worst, it can be very irresponsible, decadent, debauched. You have to be aware of the strengths and weaknesses of your way of life, and this will apply in your company as well. Your company will have a natural culture. The industry that your company is in will have a natural culture. Sure. There are some industries which are naturally, more Suryavanshi. There are some industries which are naturally more Chandravanshi.
Which attract a certain type of people. Yep.
And your customers will come in expecting that as well. Now, you as an individual may be exactly the same, but when you walk into a party, and if you find a guy or a girl with, you know, with hair dyed blue and with, you know, piercings and tattoos and God knows what not, and you'll probably find that guy fun, you know, and you'll chat with him and but if you walk into your bank, you don't want to see a guy like that. You want to see a guy with a perfectly knotted tie. You want to see a crew cut. You don't want any earrings, no tattoos. He has to be a sober state guy because that's what you expect in a bank. Every industry has its own culture. You have to be in alignment with what that culture is and try and do the best that you can do within that culture. Organizations don't lay enough importance on how crucial culture is.
Yeah.
The key insight for me here was that the notion of culture is extremely contextual. It's driven significantly by the industry one operates in and the inherent characteristics of the people in the company. Given this and the goalpost ahead, as a CEO, one needs to evolve a culture that's fit for purpose and consistent with a specific context. Just because a certain culture worked in a certain environment or a context doesn't mean that one should replicate that. It's a little more nuanced than that. Thank you for listening. For more, you might want to subscribe to the Twitter handle Play to Potential. Bye now.